Thank you for joining our
show
today.
Blog Talk Radio.
I am your host, Wanda McKinley, along with Stephanie Kennedy Alford. I am the founder of We Are Survivors, which is a nonprofit organization. Our purpose is to provide a stable environment for abused and battered men, women, and children by providing temporary shelter, counseling, and employment training. We want to help women and men transition from abusive situations to being self-sufficient individuals in society. We Are Survivors' vision is to empower men and women and to show them that they can and will survive and thrive in society on their own, and to uplift them and provide them a new life with a new perspective of what a normal life should be by enhancing and elevating them. I am a survivor of domestic violence. I was raped from the age of 7 to 18 by my biological father as well as my stepfather. My ex-husband was also very abusive. He was sexually, financially, verbally, emotionally, and physically abusive, and I was with him for 12 years. God has called me to be transparent so that I may help men, women, and children who have walked or may still be walking in my shoes. Hello, Stephanie. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. What about yourself?
I'm sleepy, but other than that, I'm great. I'm great. What you got for us today?
Well, we currently have several fundraisers that we would appreciate in and everybody to support We Are Survivors in. We have our Kroger Plus Rewards fundraiser. Well, if you currently have a Kroger Plus Rewards card, or if you will go and get a Kroger Plus Rewards card and connect to We Are Survivors, if you go to Kroger's.com and connect your card, well, register your card first. And then once you register your card, then you will go to type in We Are Survivors as the organization that you want to connect it to. Normally when you start typing in We Are, it should pull up We Are Survivors and connect it to that. And you'll need to do that each year so that you stay connected to We Are Survivors. And each quarter, according to what you spend, and you go shopping, then they'll send us a donation. We also are part of the Tom Thumb Rewards, where if you go to TomThumb.com and you print their form, or if you contact me, then we'll, or Wanda will give you our number, and we'll make sure that you get, we'll send your form in that will connect you to We Are Survivors. And then we also do the Compass Bank Rewards. You have a Compass Bank account. You connect it to We Are Survivors, then each time you use your card, they give the donation. We also have the CPN discount card, which is on $15 a year. We get discounts off of the U.S., and the half of that comes to, half the $15 comes to We Are Survivors as our fundraiser. And then we, oh, and if you're interested in any of those, you can contact me by calling or texting me at 817-320-2571. I can assist you with signing up with any or all of those. But we also participate in a photographer fundraiser. And because Wanda has already taken her pictures and she did a great job, I always let her explain that one because she's already experienced that one. So Wanda, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you explain that one.
Thank you. It's called the Purple City Project, which is a domestic violence awareness photo shoot campaign. And you can do a family shoot, be it personal or professional. And the photographer name is Charles, a.k.a. City. And the meaning behind it is a portion of the proceeds will be donated to We Are Survivors so that we may be able to help women and men who call and need a place to go immediately when there's no beds and shelters, and so that we'll be able to put them up in a hotel room for this, for just this, their safety. And I'm going to go over about, there's actually four packages, but I'm going to go over the top two. And it's a $100 value package deal at $55, 20-minute session up to four people. unlimited shots and one look, which, ladies, it means one outfit. And you get to pick two edits, so you get to pick the two pictures that you like the best. And then he'll fix them up, looking real nice for you to take home. Then you have your $80 package, which is valued at $160. It's a 45-minute session, up to four people, unlimited shots. Two looks, that's the one I did. I love to change clothes. You know, you get to change your clothes twice. I did, honestly, try to squeeze the third one, but I was so tired. I didn't make it to my third. But you get to pick four edits or four pictures, and that's what you take home for your $80 and your fun that you have from posing. Didn't really know, or I should say remember, how hard modeling was until that evening. I was really worn out. But it's four good calls, because we do get calls a lot. I actually received a call this week from a police officer who knew a woman that was homeless and was calling for resources. So this is really serious, guys, ladies, men, and teenagers that may be listening as well. Because also teenagers can raise money just like you do for, like, selling Girl Scout cookies, fundraising events. Children can also raise funds. And it's really important that we understand the reasoning why we're raising funds. But those are some of the fundraising events that we have always had. We will eventually be changing some of that, because we do have a vice president of fundraising and event planning. We do just want to say a prayer for her and her family, because she is currently out of town due to the fact that her stepmother was murdered. And the trial began this month, and it's been 4 years in the making. So as soon as that part of her life can be laid to rest, she will be back here in Dallas and getting a lot of different opportunities together. We actually had someone today call us about wanting to help fund a We Are Survivors fashion show. So we're looking forward to that, which will be sometime next year, probably in the month of August. And I want to say thank you to, huh?
It's
going to be fun to do, but I don't know about all the preparations, so we will see. Speaking of, the fashion show that We Are Survivors was invited to be a part of this past Tuesday was phenomenal, and I do want to thank the Southwest Women's Council of Realtors for the opportunity to be in their fashion show for the second year in a row. And I can't, just to be able to walk on that stage, and the reasoning why we were there was to raise funds for scholarships, to be able to help children who may not have the funds to go to the next step in education. So the meaning behind it was so special and dear to my heart. But just to be able to walk across that stage and some individuals that were survivors, and it was so funny. I will not mention her name, but it was amazing because she actually jumped in the last minute and helped out. And she was like, sure, I'll model. And she got the phone call like probably 24 hours before the show. And she's a survivor of domestic violence and also a two-time breast cancer survivor. So she understands the word survival. And she was like, I'm scared. So I told her, I was like, when you get on the stage, just put one foot in front of the other. And it was hilarious when she got up there and to look out there and see all the eyes looking at her. But I do want to thank her, because I know that was major for her to even get out there in front of so many people after she had acknowledged the fact that she was already scared. But I thank my friend for that. I do want to go over real quick the events that we have coming up. And we just actually had one added to our books this week. So I will definitely also talk about that, because that is a free event. and it is a domestic violence awareness. And it's at Marcellus Missionary Baptist Church. And I'm trying to pull up the information so that I can tell you about that. Because we just, like I said, just got asked to speak at that. And it's a free family and community violence prevention seminar. You don't have to die. Help is available. And that's this Saturday, June 25th, from 2 to 3:30. The address is 2623 Marcellus Avenue. And like I said, it's Marcellus Avenue Missionary Baptist Church, Dallas, Texas, 75216. And it's Pastor Terry White. And again, We Are Survivors has asked to come and speak a little bit about domestic violence. So that is a new event. As I said, this calendar changes a lot. And that's a new event that has been added, and that's this Saturday. So if you missed us Tuesday at the fashion show, then come out and support us Saturday at Marcellus Avenue Missionary Baptist Church. Then we have June 21st through August 4th. Actually, the Dallas Summer Outreach Program has begun. And actually, the first day was this past Tuesday, and then the second day was actually today. The Dallas Police Department, retired NFL Super Bowl champion. You have some very important people in the community. You have District 3, 4, I believe is it 8, that council people that are also involved.
Yes.
And what they've done, was it 8? They've had, they've picked 6, the Dallas Police Department has picked 6 low-income apartment complexes, and we're bringing them some programs for the summer. And we'll be there Tuesday and Thursday. Like I said, they're different apartment complexes. You have the police department. You have some Dallas Stars that they were going to be talking to. You have, like I said, you already have a Super Bowl NFL retired football player that actually played. Who did he play for? I forgot. He's probably going to kill me if he hears this. But the Colts, that's who it was, and it was going to come to me. So you have some important people giving back to the community. And like I said, that's every Tuesday and Thursday from 10 to 12. The 29th, just pray, we are meeting with some city officials in the city of Lancaster because we're going to try and plan our first annual We Are Survivors Domestic Violence Walk. And we're trying to pull this off in October. It's not a lot of time, but with God, anything and everything is possible. July 9th, we have a health fair, Strong Arms Church in Pleasant Grove. That's from 8 to 12. And they are giving up, they're having free mammograms. I actually got a text today that they still have some spots available for some mammograms. We also have July 23rd, Celebrating Life Afternoon Delight Lunch in Cedar Hill. That is sponsored by Silent Screams, which is a 501c3 organization that specializes in survivors that still cannot talk about what they went through. And that's going to be a wonderful lunch. It is actually also free, but you have to register for it because they need to know how many people are going to show up. August 13th, we have My Sister's Keeper Unity Party in Arlington. It's for the girls ages 7 to 18. We actually had a young man that inboxed, and he actually wants to bring a busload of teenage girls. And I am really excited about the opportunity to meet, talk to, and mentor so many young ladies. So I'm looking forward to that. August 20th, we have our second annual benefit event that's going to be in Addison. And, of course, as it gets closer, we'll give out addresses and locations, and not to mention if you follow us on Facebook, because the tickets for that event are $50. That includes your meal, your drinks, and all of your paint supplies, your brushes, your apron, your canvas, the stand, for you to paint the picture, you'll have to wait and see what it's going to be. But that $50 covers all of that. 25th through August 28th, Women Survivors have been asked to come speak at an international women's conference in Finland. And to top that off, we have also been asked to do a tour in Africa. That's probably sometime, of course, next year, maybe a year and a half from now. As we get more information regarding that, then we'll definitely share. Then September 24th, we have United in Flight Conference. That's actually going to be downtown. That's also a free event that We Are Survivors has been asked to speak at. October 1st, we will have our quarterly empowerment event, also in Addison. And October 22nd, our sponsor, Granny's Place, the sponsor of this radio show, is having their women's conference in Duncanville. It's from 8 to 2. Went and spoke at that last year as well. So that's another free event you don't want to miss. November 19th is the Margarita Ball, and that's a huge, huge fundraising event in Dallas, and it's by invitation only. So I feel delighted to be able to say that We Are Survivors has been asked to attend this event. And then December 22nd is our second year anniversary. So I don't know what we're going to do for that day yet. It's at the end of the year, so we got time to plan that. So I think that's all that I have right now to talk about as far as events that's coming up, to let you all know that We Are Survivors is very busy in the community. We do a lot of things that are not talked about and not posted. But just wanted to let you know that we are out there doing things. I'm actually trying to plan this Saturday to do a facial, go and have a facial done with one of the students that I met at Pinkston High School. So I'm looking forward to that, do some girly things, because I told the children that we would do things throughout the summer. And so I'll make sure that's going to happen. Now, to get to the meat of the program today. And of course, if you all have missed this past month, I don't know what to tell you. But this man, his story, his testimony is a wow. To the point I'm waiting for the book to come out. This is his fifth week being on the show. And I'm excited to hear more. I actually, honestly, as the day draws near, be excited to get on the show, because I want to hear so much of what his trials, his tribulations, and because I've met this man, to hear his story and to see him, it's amazing how far God has brought him. So enough said. Sweetener, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine.
I'm
how
good.
Are you? Yes.
I'm good. I'm like,
how are you? Yes, how are
good.
You? Yeah, it was when I was plugging in the headphones.
Okay. I'm like, I'm looking at my dashboard. Like, I see him on there. I see him.
Yes. I'm here. How are you, ladies, though?
We're good.
Yes. So, do you want me to go ahead and continue?
Yes, sir. Go ahead. It's yours.
All right. I think where the last part we left off was in the adulthood, when I finally got around with my wife, and I do believe I do spoke of me when we was going through our homeless era, where we were sleeping in the cars, and even when we end up having our own apartments, I started doing a lot of robbing, like stores and things in those in that nature to feed the house. Did I speak of the suicide?
No.
I think I did. Okay. Yeah. So you said no. Okay. So
I want you to repeat some stuff.
Okay. Not a problem. If there's anything you think I missed, let me know. But yes, I do remember, as far as when we first got together and we was able to move away from Baltimore, we went back to Laurel, Maryland, which was where I graduated from when I moved from the, like, more of the rougher D.C. areas. I moved to Maryland, which that part of Maryland either, too, wasn't a cakewalk at all. But as we got our apartment, it was, you know, the adult lifestyle really kicked in. The things that your parents won't tell you about trying to keep up with, whether it's a water bill or electricity bill or rent itself, and then the cell phone, and then groceries. So all of those things get to kicking in, and on top of that, you're not really working and having any money. It led me to nowhere but to robbing stores. And I stuck to the code of in the streets. You know, you don't rob women and children and old people. You know, at this time, I had stores. And every store I would try to kind of like, if I was going to rob them, I would make sure that it was a man before it was a woman in there. Because I was just kind of like that conscious in a way. But not saying it was a good conscious, but You know, putting the gun up to a man is still bad as putting it up to a woman. So, I just went into that phase where it didn't matter to me no more. It just really didn't matter to it. But I think what did that before I got it into the robbing was before when I moved there to Laurel. I was already in a depressed state, which, like I said, it led me to committing suicide. I want to say the day that I went in, it was around December, right before Christmas when I went in. It was just me having a bad argument with my wife, at that time, girlfriend then, already being depressed, not feeling close to my family. Was the day that I decided to, you know, take a loaded gun and to try to kill myself. But I think after that happened, when fast forwarding to moving into Laurel, Maryland, when I was robbing, I always felt like I, you know, wouldn't try to kill myself, but I just had this I don't care attitude. And it became a dangerous attitude because I felt so numb to the world. And I never felt, out of all this abuse, the molestation, being homeless, I've never felt numb. And I think that put me in I don't know, of course it's depression, but it was a deeper state. It was a deeper state. Realizing that I'm doing something now also to survive, and I'm also hurting people because I was still a conscious person of what I was doing, but it was either I'm going to be on the street or I'm going to live in this apartment, and I just refused to go back to being homeless from growing up like that as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a lot of the demons behind that helping me to execute these behaviors. The I don't care attitude towards the world, like I said, numb, just being numb from it. It was so scary to me at times that I would even break down crying because I'm scared of what I can do to myself or a person because of the numbness and not caring, not having any feelings for anything or anyone except my girlfriend at that time. And it was to the point where I almost caught myself dealing with narcotics, but almost in a using state. Back home in D.C., they have a drug there called PCP, and it's very popular there. It's been popular since the 70s. Between D.C. and California, I know of the two popular places that definitely deal with it as a bad epidemic, but D.C. was very bad with it. And I kept it a secret, but I caught myself indulging into it one time. And I remember when I did that on that drug, it did not make me high. But what it did to my mental and my spirit, it was a scary thing. The drug was telling me what I was basically going through, and if I did not change it, something worse than a gun killing me is going to happen.
Wow.
That's when I knew, one, it's time to let go of something, and bit by bit, I started, you know, to try to, I tried to let go of my pain, but it just wouldn't work because of, I just never had no one to talk to about it, of course. And the only way I felt that I felt better is if I let out aggression by doing that, robbing something, you know, destroying something, whether it's glass or wall or just doing something destructive in that nature. It just got bad. It just got very, 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 very bad. And as while I'm getting the therapy for the for you know surviving suicide, I went through a state where I was still trying to you know survive society in the society, and then going to therapy at the same time. But my therapist don't know that I'm out here robbing people or anything. I'm just talking to my therapist about being molested, abused, and dead and homeless. But I would not tell him about the activities. Until one day, even with that, I said, you know, if I'm going to go get help, I need to be honest. And I remember you saying that to Ms. Wanda one day in school with the kids. You know, if you're really going to reach out for help, you have to be honest with yourself before you be honest with anyone else.
Right.
And I had to do that in my therapy. From being lonely. And after the, all of the robbing was done and, you know, things are kind of doing, it's kind of like slowing down. My wife was picking up with a job. Certain income was kind of coming in where we wasn't struggling. But for the fact that I did all of that dirt, bothered me. So being depressed again, started telling my therapist, exactly, it's kind of like this story of me being molested, being abused, dead, you know, the cooking the cocaine, and at 6 years old, and all of those things, seeing death, murders, and I couldn't find a therapist to stick around with me for more than 3 months. So, walking around as a 23, 24-year-old man, saying to myself, I'm not even good for a therapist. Just put me in a whole nother state. But now I'm back to the, I'm definitely depressed. But now I'm definitely back to angry. Because I need help, and I know I needed help, and no one would help me. And I felt like God just would not send no help to me. And I'm going about it the right way by getting therapy. And I just couldn't find the right person. I mean, every person was just packing up and leaving on me. I had one person sit there and tell me that. There's no way, and she said it in hell, excuse my language, that you could have went through all of this and you're still alive. And when we started to clarify everything, and she just packed up. She packed up and was gone. And I didn't find a therapist for years after that. So I went back through this anger, this rage. But I was taking it out now in my relationship, but not physically, because I've never put my hands on my wife or, like, putting her in, like, never punched, I never threw, I never, none of that. But I just started noticing the verbal because of not dealing with the molestation, the abuse, the being homeless, but just on the emotional level of it, when you sit back and like how me and you over the interviews have been analyzing behaviors of people that have been molested or are the ones that's doing the molesting, and that started just to kick in. And it was like, it was really like a Ferris wheel really coming down off his axle, and you can't stop this. You can't stop it. You can't stop it. And to look for that type of therapy, I just knew I wouldn't find it. So the only way that I can get back into blinding myself, and here we go, I started to get right back into selling drugs again.
Wow.
And I just said the hell with it. Excuse my language, literally. And I'm going to do what I have to do. So I blinded my emotions from maybe 2006 all the way up to 2009. I blinded my emotions by selling drugs. Being able to be sufficient with money and taking care of myself, paying bills and all of that with selling drugs. And I stopped once again. I don't know how. It just so happened that I just stopped and went through another depression state because I blinded my emotions and my problems with selling drugs. I'm not out there selling drugs. I'm sitting in the house all day. The demons are coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And they're coming back hard. And they came back with shackles, chains, whips, and they're attacking me hard. And when I noticed that everything was going back into like reverse now, I felt it was a haywire. And we found a piece of peace through it when my grandfather passed away, because he helped me with a lot of my stuff as of my emotions, and he finally told me he loved me. Because, like I said, even beginning of the interviews, I always felt that I wasn't loved because of what my father did to my mother. So my mother's family would take stuff out on me. And once he told me he loved me, I kind of like, you know, okay, but I'm not done and I'm not well. And right before we moved from D.C., from Maryland, we found out that, you know, my wife said, you know, we're going to move back to D.C. And that was a great idea, but a bad idea at the same time. Great idea for the convenience of not having to have a car. You can go everywhere in the metro and be wherever you want to be within 10, 20 minutes. But for me, not having a job, keeping, once again, the cycle. Like in the third interview, I do believe, when I said the cycle of me trying to find a job, like getting one, losing one, or just not having one for months and months and months and months. The first thing I did when I moved right back to D.C., I went through another suicidal moment where I was very contemplating a lot with the gun thing again, and I just didn't do it, so I tried to blind again. I tried to blind it again, and I blinded it very well this time. And this one went all the way from from Maryland, it was 2006 to 2008. From D.C., it was 2008, all the way to 2013. And Miss Wanda, when I tell you, I thought I blinded it in the past. No, this time, you're talking about 20s, 30, 40, 50, $60,000 worth of drugs now being bought.
Wow.
To make.
That's a lot.
And when I was doing it, I knew how to triple that. Because, of course, just being honest, when you're doing that much, when you're dealing with that much type of money and you're dealing with a certain person or your connect, as they call it, they're either giving you extra or you're buying straight out, but either way, you still have to keep making money to go back. And I blinded myself very well with the things that I was already brought up upon through my pain. So the things that I used to make me feel good through my molestation is knowing that I can overpower a woman. That's when I knew I was getting weak again. Two, why not? Let's just blind yourself. First thing you know you love, shoes. Shoes.
Yeah.
Don't care if they're $1,100, $1,200, $200, $2. I am going to get them. And that's why I laughed at you when you said that in school, exactly verbatim. I am going to get what I want. Oh, I bust out laughing. Because we are. We're going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And it may take a year or two, but I'm going to get it. It may take a week or an hour, but I'm going to get it. And I started blinding that. All the way to the point I was blind in my relationship with my now, because I got married in 2008 with my wife, finally, at that time, on July 4th. But even from then on, I kept blinding my relationship by selling drugs and, oh, I don't want to hear you, woman. Here, take this $2,500 or take this $200 or take this and I'm going to pay this bill, and I don't want to argue with you. Shut up. Throw money at your face. And that was blinding. And trying to work on myself. Now, I was doing great with my music, still creating, but I was still selling drugs, like I said, all the way to 2013, blinding myself. Until the day I found out that I had to come to Dallas, Texas. And that was one of the hardest mistakes that I had to make a choice. Because it was either make $8,000 or $10,000 a month or come to Dallas, Texas and in that mindset, Ms. Wanda, you may understand what I mean, or like, let's go back to the regular, boring life.
Right. Every day.
And I chose.
Same thing.
I chose the regular, boring life. But before that, I had to kick it up a notch. Oh, no, we're not going to just sit here and do anything. I'm going to go sell everything. As my grandfather said, sell a fish, send to another fish, I will. And that's what I went out and did. The violence picked up, though, more. I never told my wife when I stepped outside of when I used to go to clubs. It was just the energy. I was still in a calm state of everything that I was doing in my life, just the energy. And this, I forgot to mention this in my adulthood. The things that haunt me in the past started coming forward again. If you understand what I mean, the molestation and what
mm-hmm.
I mean by this, every certain places I'll go, and I'll get hit by a grown man, and I'm just washing clothes. Now, I don't know what in the hell told you that I was gay, but I'm washing clothes and I get hit on. Or I've been at an airport. Or I've been at a CVS. And I knew it was not me, but I knew it was my past. So the only way for you to make this to stop, I must confront it. So I would never confront the people that's doing this, because they don't understand what's happening to me in my spectrum of my lifestyle. They don't
mm-hmm.
understand what happened to me as a child, but I see this. And then it started going to me through kids. And that's when I said, if something doesn't pick up with me, it's going to be literally life or death on this one. Because now I don't have kids trying to hit on me, but I have kids doing things in front of me that I know they should never do. I'm talking about at work. And when I report these things, crazy, I was a fool, or don't bring attention to the type of schools. So I will lose jobs. So lose jobs again, still no therapy, still out here what to do. So, okay, why not? Why not? I secretly almost started because I didn't tell my wife. It was, if I keep losing everything and everything I do bad is good, I almost had that mindset. Then why should I do the good stuff? Why should I really go out and do the good stuff? The only thing I know I can do good right now is be a husband. And I'm not even good at that. And that at that time. So, I'm going to go out and try to pimp. I'm going to go out here and sell crack. I'm going to go out here and sell marijuana. If I even have to rob, this is what I'm going to do. Because there's no other way that I was able to deal with my emotions. And then living in a lifestyle as a man, growing up to be tough, brolic, and belligerent, and ignorant. You was never taught in a society as a man, or and this is not even a thing to deal with race, but me being a colored person is definitely a taboo for a man to walk around and say, hey, I was molested. It's kind of accepted with a woman. Like, if you know what I mean? Like, and I've seen this in programs even. Like, a man says it, it's like, he's gay. Or, no, dude, I was just molested as a child.
Right.
So that lifestyle, like, it was an everyday. Everyday depression and a battle to trying to live. And then you have parents. My father died at 12, but, you know, like I said, I had a mother. You can tell this day, just being honest, she never wants to deal with what happened to me as a child, even what she's done to me as a child. And being honest as a 33-year-old man, I'm okay. But I can't sit here and lie to you guys and say, it doesn't still try to haunt me or bother me. The fact that I have a living mother and I got put through all of this. And yes, you're blind, you're living your life, but you still won't even pick up the phone and just talk to me and to say, this is why I did this, or this is why, or I don't know why. But even when she does it, you know how you speak to someone and you feel it in their energy, it's just not sincere.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I get. And from my mom, you know, we are very compatible signs. She's a Scorpio, I'm a Virgo. We're super compatible. So for us for me to know that I'm super compatible with my mom and I can't get along with her, even till this day, still bothers me. It still puts me in a depression state. It still, I don't never feel like I want to kill myself anymore, though, because I understand now. And I don't know if you guys even remember when I said this to you guys. 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago now, you guys made me understand what I need to do with my life. I'm not trying to cry, excuse me. But like I even said then, all the way to 33, selling drugs all my life, and I've asked God all my life, please, I want to be used in your favor. I don't want to be in my favor no more. Because I would say, use me in this way, God. I want to do this. I. Now I'm saying, God, you choose. You tell me. If I'm reluctant, just give me, just be patient with me. But show me the way. I need to be used. I know there's people out here that need me. And a week later after that, you two beautiful women popped up at my school.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw you, Ms. Wanda, and not trying to, and I'm very good off of speaking with feeling energy. The spirit from Miss Stephanie is so silent, you can tell how much pain she's went through. That's why I noticed that you're the lead front talker. You had to break that barrier because she was that silent as well. And I was that silent too. And I was the little boy when you used to come to my school. It's really sad, woman, and people come to my school. I was doing what those little boys did in the class when I confronted them in front of you ladies. Because something has happened to me. And when I realized, I let God that day take the total control, and I don't even know if you remember, Miss Wanda. You looked at me and like as if you knew me for years and said, can you please go get her for me? I don't even think you knew in that message that you was telling that God was even using you for me to say I have work to do. So when I broke down crying, I don't think you guys just knew the mental process of what happened to me as a blessing of even just hugging you ladies. Because I was depressed that week before, again. Major arguments with my wife to the point where, and I make money. I do music. I do stuff with the homeless. I make all types of other legal money. And depression was about to make me go sell drugs again. And I'm being dead on.
Wow.
And I just broke down and said, I just want to be used. If I'm not going to have a relationship with my mother or family, fill this space and use me so I can fill this space the right way. And I swear to God, you ladies popped up the following week. But that following week before that, I remember I told you I heard about this We Are Survivors. And I just don't remember. I think it was two ladies talking about it, and it wasn't even in my school. And then you two ladies popped up. That's why I wasn't reluctant when you told me, I'm going to use you, Mr. Strowman. And I said, yes, ma'am. If my time permits and I'm there, I'm going to exactly let you do what God is going to let you do to me. And I'm not worried about it. My faith is bigger than a mustard seed right now. Because nobody understands, if I really look at it now, and I told you this interview, I'm going to break it all the way. I'm just from 6 years old being molested at the same time and cooking cocaine and seeing death, murder, with all of that, from being homeless to being dead, to selling the drugs, to doing the robberies, to doing the shootouts, being in shootouts, to being shot at, to being shot, like, and to finally break down at 33 and say, I want to be used. And mind you, I'm Jesus' age when he say he passed away. And majority blessings come around this time. My grandma used to always tell me that. And I'm 33. And I felt like a piece of me died. Like the not when I say like Jesus, but the bad part that had to die that day that I met y'all. And when I had the chance to talk to that beautiful young girl, because she doesn't even realize she was me, but I'm just, she's just the female version.
Right.
She had no idea. To get graphic and to tell, yes, I've been through all of that. Been through all of that. And outside of that, it was just amazing to have you, and I don't even know, I just felt like it was three, it was another spirit in there besides us four in there. There was something else in there. Because the more and more I was even trying to help this child about my problem and telling her I don't think y'all guys even look. I was looking for y'all guys to save me. I was really looking for y'all to save me, and I didn't know how to deal with it. That's why I was so vulnerable. Because I'm sorry, if you don't pray for things and sit and wait and be patient like I asked to be do. And I pay attention to the signs of hearing about We Are Survivors or and then you ladies popping up. I'm sorry. There's no way in the world that this is a coincidence. Everything
no,
I went through.
God.
Everything I went through from 0 to 33 all the way to today on Thursday of being on this phone, I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. I'm completely content with that because I know it's something else coming. And I think that's why, I don't know, you can ladies really realize, like, I'm sorry for crying now, but that's why I just couldn't sit down after I realized what happened. That little girl was just a piece for her to even to get help for me.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't pay attention to those signs. They don't. And I guess why I told that girl.
People miss signs all the time.
Yeah. And that's what I told her. I said, baby, you don't realize you're helping me more than you think that I'm even helping you. Because I'm getting the help, which is the reason why I'm back in therapy, which is the reason why I'm back in marriage counseling, which is the reason why I'm getting my wife into therapy. We're doing more of the homeless feedings on our own now. I know what I got to do. It's not saying that I can't live my life and go trips and go do my music and still go on tour, but outside of that, just make sure I still do what I'm supposed to do. And that's still to tell my story.
Right.
And that's still to write about it. And that's still to help. And you're
because you have a story to tell.
Yeah, and you're not you're not the 20th, 30th, 40th, 50th, 60th person that has told me that I need to write. And I'll tell people, like, oh, you know, I'm a hip-hop artist and a poet. They're like, no, that's good writing, too. But you need to just write.
Mm-hmm.
And even at first, too, when you first told me before we even did, I hit you. And in the back of my mind, I'm like, oh, my God, lady, no, 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 no. And when you really put it down in there and you basically just said it, you'd be a fool not to have someone sit here and read your story. And I don't know why that touched me, like, in a weird way, but it's like, because I sometimes feel like I'm not humble. I'm humble, but I'm not worthy enough because of all of the abuse. Because of all
exactly.
of the degrading that's been done.
I was just
going
to say that. That's because of all the abuse that you went through, because I've experienced that as well.
Oh, yeah.
And just all the abuse.
And for you to see the great in me, that's why I was like, nah, I'm good at telling my story, but that doesn't mean I see myself as a great person.
Right, but you
and
are
I
one.
And I do, though. Yeah. And I definitely see that. It's just, you know, and that's why I was like, wow. So to even confirm this, a couple of days ago, I was at the GameStop. My wife has treated me to a gift because I love playing games. And I ran into one of our students from Pinkston.
Wow.
And the first thing she told me, she said, Mom, don't look at this man crazy. He's the cool teacher that I told you about. And she just gave me this big hug. She said, I didn't speak to Miss Wanda, Mr. Strowman. She said, but I want to let you know. Wow, I'm about to really cry. She said, I'm going to let you know that the man that has got me is now locked up and serving God.
Wow.
And she said, it's not because of her. He got caught doing what he did to her as a child to another child.
Wow.
And she said, Mr. Strowman, if it took me 12 years to go through all of this to see Miss Wanda and to talk to you, to see the coincidence that he even got locked up for what he did to me, She said, I'm fine with that.
Wow.
I'm fine with that.
Wow.
She said, I will take this pain, and it's going to hurt because I can't confront him. She said, but I'm fine with that.
Right.
And to hear a black child once again see and say, I don't feel worthy. It bothers me in America. It bothers me. It just bothers me to feel a woman just to sit there and say, I'm not worthy.
Wow.
For anything, when you are the reason why men and women are walking around because y'all get life and you're not worthy, it mind boggles me. It mind boggles me. But for me to hear this beautiful girl sit there and say, I'm fine that he's in jail, I'm content with that. That's my therapy now. She said, I don't even want to go back to therapy no more. She said, my therapy is God now. I clearly know that there is a God. She said, because I had to have patience. She said, I have to have patience. And I have patience
there
now. And then when she said that right after that, she said, because I also want to tell you that, Mr. Strowman, I've also been accepted into college. And somebody gave me a free full ride to college. And she said, Mr. Strowman, I don't know where the money came from. She said, Mr. Strowman, I don't know where the money came from. She said, but I thank you. And every time I got on your nerves, you dealt with me. She said, because I was hurt. She said, but even meeting you today at the GameStop, because her father came to me, he said, man, I'm not going to lie, I looked at you like, man, who the heck is this, that my daughter? And she said, but when I realized what was going on, he said, man, you are something else. And I still, because I'm, you know, what I went through, I'm just humble, like, oh, man, I'm just doing my job. And he said, no, man. He said, my daughter talks about you all the time. She said, that's the only reason why I never met you. When she came to you and ran into your arms and hugged you like I was, like, you're her father. She was like, I just, like, wait a minute. Because he went to the mother like, who's this man? And she was like, that's her favorite teacher. And then coming to find out another coincidence, which is really not, I'm going to the school that her brother with special needs next year right behind Pinkston, and I'm going to be dealing with her brother with severely autistic.
Wow.
So it's like the same
that,
cycle.
You know what? I see, every time it starts getting really good, we have now a minute left. And I'm just sitting here wiping tears. I'm wiping tears, and I'm just like, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
I once again thank you for coming on the show. We have 60 seconds left.
Yes, ma'am.
If you're welcome to come back next week.
Okay.
Actually, it would be great to have you come on as many times as you like, because you can give that male perspective, and that way we can pull in our male survivors, because they are out here.
That.
And like
they
I told you, you...
Yeah.
Yes, God, and Stephanie is my witness. We've had so many men come to us, and we would turn them away because we didn't have someone within the organization to help them. And God has brought that person to us.
Right.
So
they're so
used I'm excited.
Women.
Yes.
Oh yeah. And that's one thing. I'm never afraid to talk to men, because.
Mm-hmm. And you know what?
It's the destruction
I'm gonna call you in a minute, but we have less than 10 seconds. And so I want to let everybody know, if you have any questions or comments, survivor stories, please contact Stephanie or I. My number is 214-454-2933. Hers is 817-320-2571. Thank you for listening. I hope something was said today that touches your heart. In the name of Jesus, we will always worship his holy name. God bless everyone, and thank you.